East Coast College Training, July 13 through 19, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session Number 2, Preaching the Gospel. Message Number 4, Companions.
Okay, well, how about we go to our Gospel section in the outline, and let's look at the very first message on companions. Actually, I really have appreciated all of the sharing from all of you guys, and I'm kind of getting the sense that you're a little bit desperate because you realize that this Christian life thing is not something you can do, right? Praise the Lord. We have the answer. The Lord hasn't left us without a way, okay? Okay, so everyone get your clicking done here. Okay, how about we read the title to this message? Companions. Okay, the title is Companions. Let's do it again. Companions. Again. Companions. Again. Companions. Amen. Okay. Okay, brothers, how about you read Roman numeral 1 for me? Okay, it is a matter of what?
The body.
Okay, preaching the gospel is not merely a matter of individuals. It is a matter of the body. Okay? Actually, the body is our salvation. When we begin to experience the body, it's like we're getting saved a second time. Okay? So when we talk about the body, we're talking about a living. You know, when we were regenerated, we all became members of the body. But we want to enter into the reality of the body of Christ. If I have a body, but it's paralyzed, it doesn't move, it doesn't function, I have a body, but not really. You see what I'm saying? My body is what lives and moves, right? It's my expression. It's my living. If I didn't have a body, my head would have no way to live. It would just be there, right? It's a lot of considerations, ideas, wants, needs, but no living, right? Well, in the same way, the body of Christ is actually the living of the triune God on the earth, okay? I wanted to show you something here. In Ephesians 4, starting with verse 17, Paul is talking about the Gentiles have a kind of living that's in the vanity of their mind, okay? But we should have another kind of living. And so in 20, he says, you did not so learn Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the reality is in Jesus. And this phrase is a little mysterious, as the reality is in Jesus. But if you look at the footnote, praise the Lord for the footnotes, right? We'll have our recovery version. That reality that is in Jesus is the actual living of the Lord Jesus, as recorded in the four Gospels. So, saints, we have the actual living of the Lord Jesus, as recorded in the four Gospels. Okay? And then, if you look at John 6:57, can you guys quote John 6:57 for me?
As the living Father right. sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who leads me, he also shall live because of me.
Okay, do it one more time. Right, okay. Okay, so he who eats me. Okay. Okay. So this first part, you can divide this verse in half. Actually, John 6:57 is a marvelous verse. One sister even shared about it. But this first part here, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, this is referring to the Lord's living in the four Gospels. Okay? And this, you could say, this is the reality that is in Jesus. And then, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. You know what that is? That's the reality of the body of Christ. Okay, so as we enjoy the Lord, as we receive the Spirit, what that issue is, What that issues in is the reality of the body of Christ. Okay? So the important part is he who eats me, right? If we eat, we will live. Okay, so the body is a living that's based on our enjoyment of the Lord. If we don't enjoy the Lord, we don't have a way to live this body life, right? So we need a peripateo that we can live because of him. That living is the body. That's actually the stoicheo. It's really amazing, actually. Okay, and then I wanted to show you this. That living is the living of a person. That's just Jesus living again on the earth. So in the Gospels, you have what's recorded in the four Gospels is the living of Jesus, right? But that living is called what? What are those books called? The Gospels, right? What is the living of the Lord Jesus? It's the Gospel. Did you realize that the Lord's living itself is the Gospel? The Lord's Gospel is the person, and that person is expressed in a living, okay? So what I'm trying to get at is the Gospel should be our normal living. And that is just the living out of Christ, right? For to me to live is Christ. Amen. Well, what does the living of Christ look like? Well, read the four Gospels. What does it look like? It looks like the Gospel. He was always visiting people, shepherding people, caring for people. So the normal living of Christ is a living that is the Gospel. Okay? So when we're talking about the body, we're talking about a living of a group of believers living together. You can say it's the corporate living of the God-man, right? And that living is the Gospel. That's why the Gospel is a matter of the body, okay? We have no way to be prevailing in the Gospel without the body. Okay, so let's look here on A. How about sisters read A? Okay, you would think as you read this point that in order to be prevailing and fruitful in preaching the Gospel, you would think you need to pay your full attention to the Gospel, right? In order to be prevailing in football, you need to pay your full attention to football, right? But that's not the way this works. It's very interesting. I really like this. In order to be prevailing and fruitful in the preaching of the Gospel, we must pay our full attention to what? The body life, right? What is the body life? It's our living together with the saints. Okay, living Christ, actually, together with the saints. Just not our living in our natural life, right? But it's our living Christ together with the saints. Okay, listen, you have to pick this up. The answer to our not being able to do it is living together with the saints. None of us can do it on our own, right? I want to read you some from a book. You know, the ministry speaks a lot better than I can, so I'll just read a little bit. Okay? This is from the Vision of God's Building. So this is on both the negative side and the positive side. Okay, let us be more practical. Christians talk much about being like Jesus, glorifying God, and expressing Christ. But it is impossible for any individual to glorify God or express Christ in a full way if he is not built up with other Christians. Consider ourselves. All of our problems are due to one thing. What do you think that one thing is? We are too independent and individualistic. Listen, we are disconnected and isolated from others. So we are beset with failures and weaknesses. Do you have a certain besetting sin which you cannot overcome? Brother Juan mentioned this, right? You will never surmount it or overcome it by yourself. You must forget your own efforts and pay full attention to being built up with others. Amen. How do you overcome besetting sins? We all have this, right? Especially in our hidden life as college students, right? How do you do it? You forget it, and you pay your full attention to being joined to your brother, right? You begin to pray together, right? Okay, it says, if we are willing to be vitally related and built up with others, we will find that our weaknesses and shortcomings will disappear. Amen. This should really encourage us. We have a way, brothers, to go on, okay? Listen to this. We must learn to pay attention to one thing, being built up with other Christians. In the early years of my Christian life, I did not see this building principle. I was struggling and striving, seeking and fighting. One day the Lord opened my eyes. I saw that there was no need for me to struggle, fight, and toil any longer. I need only abide in the body. As long as a member of the physical body abides in the body, everything is all right. You know, saints, the immune system is a body function. Think about it. The immune system in my body doesn't reside in any member. It is a body function. So one of the benefits we get by being connected to the brothers is we get the immune system of the body, which takes care of all of our problems on the negative side. Okay, listen to this. Suppose your hand is isolated and separated from your body, yet it continues with great effort to live and function, to be healthy and useful. Suppose someone should ask the severed hand, "What are you striving for?" And it replies, "Oh, I must strive to be healthy, to overcome all the germs, etc., etc." Such a supposition is absurd in the extreme. Yet this is the case of most Christians today, probably including yourself. Right? We're all this way, right? Yes, we are Christians, but we are not actually related to one another. We are members of Christ's body, but we are not fitly framed together. We are materials, but we are not built up together as God's building. Oh, we must forget our personal struggles and just abide in the body. A misplaced, detached hand is not only useless, it is ugly and terrifying. Let us forget our striving and just pay attention to being vitally related to Christ's body. Then the germs will be killed on the negative side, and we will be living and powerful, healthy, and functioning. We will not merely be useful, but fully useful. Okay, now then there's another small section here. As Christians, can we point out other definite members of the body of Christ with whom we are related in a practical way? We need to ask ourselves this. Can we point out other definite members with whom we're related? Okay? This is not a matter of doctrine or ethereal spirituality. It is a matter of practical reality. Check yourself. If you are an isolated member of the body, you are burdened with many problems. The only way to be a victorious Christian is to be a related Christian. When we come to the body, we find that all the besetting sins are under our feet. The issue is not whether we are living, healthy, or functioning in... The issue is not whether we are a living, healthy, or functioning individual Christian, but are we vitally and practically related to the body of Christ? Okay, so you see our need... Our need is a companion. If we don't have a companion, brothers and sisters, eventually we have no way to go on. Or our going on will be very sickly and abnormal, discouraging, striving, struggling, toil. All those are pleasant words, right? That's not the Christian life we want to have. We want a Christian life enjoying Christ and the body of Christ. Okay, and the way we do that is we need to find a companion. Okay? I just have a couple more minutes here, and then Bobby's going to share. Brothers, why don't you read B and C together?
We should not preach the gospel in an individualistic way. Rather, we should do everything corporately in the body through fellowship and coordination.
Amen. C.
If we preach Christ and do not have fellowship and do not love one another, our fruit will be very limited.
Right. Okay, go ahead and sisters read D. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm really burdened actually that we would have the realization that we desperately need companions. If we have the feeling that we can make it on our own, or we don't really need the brothers, or, you know, we're history in our Christian life. We have to come to the point where we need the members of the body. You know, Paul needed the brothers. He needed the brothers. So many times, you know, Paul was lowered in a basket from Damascus. When he first met the Lord, he had to be led by the hand, and Ananias came. The Lord wouldn't come to him directly, but he sent a little member of the body, right? To baptize him and to give him his sight, okay? It says here, matter, if we preach Christ, yet do not have fellowship and do not love one another, our fruit will be very limited. You know, in John 15, you have the picture of the vine. And the Lord said, "If apart from me, you can do nothing." That me, I always used to think that me was just the Lord himself. I just need to be connected to the Lord. I don't need the brothers and sisters. But that me is the vine. If you've ever seen a vine, you realize there's not just a single trunk and then all the branches go into that single trunk. Actually, the branches, you know, there's kind of a beginning, but then they kind of go all, and but mainly they're off of one another, right? So actually, if you don't abide with the brothers, you can do nothing. It's really something. I was really touched. Amen. And, you know, this matter of fellowship, you know, we may be with a brother, but, you know, fellowship doesn't mean you're just talking to a brother. Sometimes, you know, we grow up in the church life, we think that, oh, now I'm with the saints, so I'm fellowshipping. Yeah. Fellowship is not that. Fellowship is the flow of life. Amen. When we get together with the brothers, we need to pray, right? We need to pray. You know, John 15 begins with abiding, and then it toward the end, it gets into love, right? Based on our life, our enjoyment of life together, we begin to love one another. Love is the expression of life. If you're not praying together, enjoying the Lord together, you have no way to love one another. And if you don't love one another, you don't have a condition that attracts people and impacts people that causes you to bear fruit. Actually, that fellowship and that love is like a bird's nest that holds the egg of fruit bearing. Anyway, you know, and we all, you know, I grew up in the church life, and I had a lot of companions. A lot of them weren't life companions, right? We did stuff together that we probably shouldn't have done. But you know what? Several of those companionships, we just started to pray together. And the Lord had a way to turn. You may have some companions, but you need to begin to pray together. You need to begin to fellowship, okay? And then, okay, let's just read 2 and A, and then Bobby will go ahead and share. All together. By being grouped together with some companions, the gospel preaching on the campuses will be like wildfire, be prevailing, convince people, and put Satan to shame. Then A, we must make the decision to pick up some companions. We should pray, Lord, give me someone as a companion, or send me to me. Amen. So how about brothers? Let's read that, starting with Lord. Make that our prayer. Let's read that all together, brothers. Lord, give me someone as a companion, or send someone to me. Bring me into contact with the one whom you choose. Sisters, let's read that.
Amen. Lord Jesus, amen. We love you. Let's read A again, all together, because this is really what we want to emphasize. So me and Micah had a lot of fellowship about this, and this is the point we really want you to get. So let's read A again. So I think what we really want to impress with you is this matter of companions. And really, we want you to have an uplifted view of what a companion is. And, you know, you may think a companion are the brothers and sisters I hang out with in the church life. They're my buddies. You know, they're the people I get together and I do things with. And we may consider that this is my companion. Well, I found this footnote in Exodus 33:11, and this is a verse where it says, and Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his companion. Now listen to this footnote. This was awesome. So consider this. A companion, being more than a friend, is an associate, a partner, one who shares a common interest and a common enterprise. Although Abraham was God's friend, Moses was God's companion, a partner in God's great enterprise. Only a person like Moses, a person who knows God's heart and does everything according to God's heart, can be a companion of God, sharing a common interest with God and being used by God to carry out his enterprise on earth. I really appreciated this. A companion is more than a friend. It's much more than a friend, right? And you know, in one sense, we want to be companions with God. God has his great enterprise on this earth, and his great enterprise is his economy. right? God wants to gain the body. But we are, you know, we didn't, in point one, it has this verse, Philippians 1:5, and this talks about our fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. So do you ever realize the furtherance of the gospel is a fellowship, and fellowship is a joint participation. It's a communion, right? So it requires more than one person. So it's not an individual thing, the gospel. So just as we consider this matter of companions, consider who your companions are. Who do I share, or who do I participate with in God's great enterprise? So we really wanted to have this, wanted you to have this uplifted view of what a companion is. And I was just considering, you know, these messages that last night and this morning is, you know, we talked about the vine, the grafting, the grafted life. You know, a companion should really help you to remain in this organic union with the Lord, right? And actually help to strengthen this organic union with the Lord. And a brother said, you know, really what we need is we need more appreciation of the Lord, right? So our companions should help bring us to the Lord. They should help us to appreciate the Lord more and actually strengthen us. And I enjoyed this one verse from Romans 12. And in Romans 12, you know, it starts off by talking about the body. But here's a verse from Romans 12:10. It says, "Love one another warmly in brotherly love. Take the lead in showing honor one to another." So really, you know, brothers and sisters, we should take the lead in showing honor one to another. I was just considering this experience when I came into the church life. I had this group of companions. I was in Arizona, and it was only a few young people. And we, you know, we would get together, and we would go to the meetings together, call each other for the meetings. Even once a week, we'd get together, and we'd play some hymns, and we'd learn to play the guitar together. But I was very new in the church life, and you know, I wanted to see this movie. It was a psychological thriller, you know, and I was really into that, and you know, I was real new, and I was like, whoa, I'm gonna get my buddies together to go watch this movie. So, you know, I got all the brothers together, and we went to the movie, and one of the saints walked out of the movie and was offended, you know, And I didn't understand why at the time. I was like, what's the big deal? It's just a movie. But, you know, really, it's, I as I consider it now, it's like I really dishonored that brother, right? So anytime we do not minister Christ to one another, if we do not bring each other to Christ, it's we dishonor one another. You know, the way to honor one another, we honor one another with Christ, right? So As you consider your relationship, I use this matter of movies because this was my experience, you know, but we need to consider when we get together is what our companion is. It's not just a friend, it's not just a buddy that I go to do things with, but it's a partner, an associate in God's great enterprise. Amen. Amen. Let's read B together. So I'm going to focus on point B. Point C actually starts with after taking the steps to become blended. So if we don't have point B, it's really hard to have point C. It's really, you know, we're talking about, you know, preaching the gospel, and we always think of this, the side of being active and going out and doing something. But really, we need to take care of our being blended, Amen. Our being built up. We need to take care of our companions. And actually, if you take care of this matter of being joined with other members of the body in a definite way, in a practical way, this other matter of preaching the gospel, it's almost spontaneous. It's just an issue of your being built together as companions. So really, I want to focus on this point B. And just to come back to point A, is like, I wrote this point, and this is from the reading. It says, you must consider before the Lord whether you have a real companion in pursuing the Lord. And we hope that you would all do this, and maybe we could do this at the end. Maybe just take some time to consider who is my real companion in pursuing the Lord? I may know a lot of the brothers in a kind of an outward way, in a general way, but who is my real companion in pursuing the Lord? You know, when we come together as companions, what should we do? You know, actually, we should pray. We should pray, read the Word, right? We should consider each other, know each other. We should pray for one another. We should consider one another's burdens, people that we're burdened for. And eventually, we should just go out to contact people. This is what these companions do. So let's read point one together.
The first thing is to know one another. Whenever we come together, we should ask concerning the present situation of each group member. We should fellowship concerning our status, our spiritual condition, and our present situation in and with the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, we need to know one another. Here's a verse from Ephesians 6:21. This is Paul. It says, "But that you also may know the things concerning me, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you." Amen. So Paul's speaking to these believers in Ephesus, and he's saying that he's going to make all the things concerning himself known to these believers, but he's doing it through another member of the body, right? He's not doing it himself. And I was just considering, it's like, Tychicus must have known what was going on with the Apostle Paul. He must have known his situation, his condition, right? So he knew how Paul was doing. And so, you know, this, I really like this. This is the first thing we need to do when we come together. You know, we got together in our group time. I was just kind of chuckling, but we got together the first time in groups to kind of get to know each other, right? And we were, you know, supposed to spend some time together. And right away in my group, the brothers just wanted to read. They didn't want to spend the time, you know. And, you know, I think we're all like this. It's like, really, we don't want to be known by other people, right? We prefer, and actually I have a quote here, we prefer just to pretend with one another. And we don't like people to know our real situation in and with the Lord. You know, so this matter of opening to one another, you know, we need to learn to open our ordinary daily matters. Actually, in the reading, it says if you meet with a brother at night and you come together and meet with that brother again in the morning, you should know what that brother did in between this time. You know, what went on with them? You know, did they? You know, and we'll get into this even more. I got 5 points in this matter of opening. But first, we need to take the lead to open. And I just want to read a quote. We need to learn to be an open person. We should not be afraid of being known by others. The more we are known in a proper way, the better. This will put down our pride, take away our boasting, annul our superiority complex, and even put aside our inferiority complex. However, most of us are not willing to expose ourselves. Instead, we prefer to cover ourselves by pretending to one another. Because of this, it is difficult for us to have an intimate and thorough fellowship that results in our being blended together. And so, you know, this is probably all our situation. It's like we're open maybe a little bit. We like the brothers to see when we're enjoying the Lord. You know, we come together in the meetings and everyone thinks we're all right. Right? But we all have situations, we all have problems. You know, sometimes we're cold. Sometimes you're struggling reading the Bible. You know, sometimes you're struggling, you know, just contacting the Lord in the morning. Maybe you're not sleeping right. You know, these are ordinary daily matters, but they affect our pursuit of the Lord, and they affect our function in preaching the gospel. You know, so it's really these matters, and you know, it says opening to one another in a proper way. We need to consider even what we open. We're not opening all the skeletons in our closet.
That's right.
We're not opening the things of our past, you know, that are covered under the blood. Amen. You know, we're not opening our sins to one another because we don't want to contaminate one another.
Yeah.
But really, if there's some things that you're struggling with, you can't get through with, you need to be able to open to somebody. You know, I have some brothers that, you know, that I just spend a lot of time. You know, this takes a lot of time to build up. But, you know, I had this situation yesterday where, you know, I applied for some loan. I spent so much time getting all the paperwork together. It was pre-approved. You know, I was like, I spent months getting this stuff together, hours. And then they messed up on something, so the loan got denied. And so, you know, you can just imagine, it's just disappointment, you know? And, you know, here you are in the middle of the training. You're supposed to be enjoying the Lord, but you got this anxiety here that's just like weighing you down. But there was this one brother that, you know, I spent a lot of time with, and he asked me to drive him home. And because I had built something up with his brother, and we were very open with one another, it was so easy just to open that situation. And right away, we just prayed. You know, we just touched the Lord together. And it was just wonderful, you know. It's like I got released. Amen. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here giving this message full of anxiety, weighed down, you know. So we really need to have these definite ones, amen, right? And actually, you know, Brother Lee was like, you need more than one. You need four or five. Read these verses to you. You've probably heard these verses together, but this is from Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And while a man may prevail against the one, the two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I really appreciate these verses. You know, these brothers are not tearing each other down. You know, they're not pushing each other down. They're not stealing each other's blankets. You know, they're lifting each other up. They're, you know, you ever feel really, you know, cold in your love toward the Lord, and then you get with a certain saint, and they just help you to really appreciate the Lord, help you to love the Lord. They warm you up, right? Right? And even these ones, they're fighting together. They're withstanding him. They're withstanding the enemy, right? So we need these ones that are our companions. And actually, we need like four or five. You know, Brother Lee said some brothers need 12 brothers to help them stand. I thought this is wonderful. You know, the more the better. But we need ones that we're connected to in a definite way, you know. Let's read point two together. All right. So again, underline, in a proper way, not carelessly, not recklessly. Go ahead, brothers, on three.
After opening to one another concerning our present situation, we should pray for one another. The way to be blended is by much and thorough prayer. Amen.
Sisters, four. I have this quote. I really enjoyed this. We can be joined to the brothers and sisters only when we hold the head. The members of the body are fitted together and able to live the body life through holding the head. Amen. Our relationship to the head determines our relationship to the other members. Apart from Christ, we have no means of fellowship. When we do not hold the head, our fellowship becomes invalid. The basis of our fellowship is mutual holding of the head. When we all hold the head, we will hold to one another, and our relationship with the body will be proper. The mutual relationship of the members passes through the head first. So it's not, we're just not opening to one another. You know, we're not just opening, but we need to hold the head. We need to go to the Lord, and we need to pray for one another. So let me give you these 5 points. I gave you point one, is taking the lead to open. And then point two is the ordinary daily matters. Point three, opening to seemingly weaker ones. And I really enjoyed this point. The verse that goes with this is 1 Corinthians 12:22. And this talks about the members of the body which seem to be weaker. And so you ever consider this word, it's they seem to be weaker. And they seem to be weaker by the ones that consider themselves stronger. Right? It doesn't say they are weaker. It says they seem to be weaker. Actually, they're probably the stronger ones. Right? Because they're more dependent on the Lord. But, you know, really, if you've ever had this experience of if you consider yourself a strong person and you're just put in a situation where you have to open to somebody that you may consider weaker, this annuls your superiority complex. Right? This kills it. Right? And then when that stronger brother opens to this weaker brother, right? Just think about that weaker brother. This just annuls his inferiority complex. You know? I just really appreciated this so much. Four was not carelessly, and we've covered this. And five is being able to give a frank and loving response in the group. And so our brother shared this last night with Peter, right? Where Paul had to rebuke Peter in Galatians, right? And so that was a frank word. And frank is just sincere, genuine. And Paul was very, you know, just straightforward with Peter. Peter, you're not walking in a straight way concerning the truth. You know, I rebuked him to his face. So you might consider maybe there's some tension between Paul. Maybe they don't like each other anymore, Peter and Paul. But actually, you know, brother also mentioned in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 16. And he said, you know, where Peter recommends Paul's writings. But you know how he refers to Paul? He says, our beloved brother Paul. Right? And the word there is agapetos. It literally means very dear. Amen. Right? So this was a frank word in love. Amen. Right? And so we need to be able in our group is not just to open to one another, but we should be able to give a frank word in love. Amen. Because we care for the members in our group. And so let's just read C together. We'll read the C together, and then we'll alternate on the 6 points. Taking the steps to become blended through mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, we should go on to contact people for the increase of Christ's body. Brothers. Definite goal with a strong determination to gain at least one remaining fruit yearly.
We should renew our acquaintances and make a list of them, and then pray over this list and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be the first for us to take care of.
We should come together with our companions once a week to fellowship about, pray for, and study every case of those for whom we are burdened.
We should not expect to have a quick result, but continue to labor with inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession.
Amen. I guess we'll open up and have some sharing. Yeah.